The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on this Wednesday, June the 25th, 2025. Thank you for listening to AFR. And joining me in studio today is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Wesley Wildman.
And good morning.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And we thank you again for listening. A lot to talk about. A lot in the news. It's a good thing because this show would not exist do we have news to talk about. I guess we could gardening tips or...
Well, I mean, if we didn't have issues, we couldn't have today's issues.
Right.
Got to be some issues somewhere.
That would be a good promo for our show.
Yeah.
In fact, we could clip that up.
Yeah. If we didn't have issues... We wouldn't have today's issues
right.
to talk about.
Now, you could have tomorrow's issues, but you'd have to wait until tomorrow to deal with it.
I just know that this is the best we're going to be able to do today, and we are not.
Have a good day, everybody.
One thing we can promise you: we're not going to go over our personal issues.
Okay, right. I personally have issues, but that's
we've all
what
got
I was issues. Talking.
That's right.
Right, you want to review those now?
Yeah,
I don't.
Pull up the couch or get
All right. Jenna Ellis will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Jenna is a host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning right here each weekday on American Family Radio. And she's a constitutional lawyer. And she's going to, we're going to review a couple of things that have been in the news that are big news stories, namely the Supreme Court. Sided with President Trump and his administration 6-3 that if you're here illegally in the U.S. and you are deported, you don't necessarily get to choose where you're sent to. Mm-hmm. You may be sent to if you're a criminal, especially,
right.
You may be sent to like El Salvador or something
yeah.
like that. So that was a big ruling and that came down a couple of days ago. We'll talk to Jenna about that. And also going to ask her, the big news story, which we are so thankful for, it was heartening to see where these children mm-hmm. in Florida were rescued and they were being trafficked, right?
Yes.
So we're going to talk to her about that. She's very familiar with that, too. How many children were there?
Like? 60 missing children have been rescued.
And did we mention sometime, I don't know about this week or last week, that there's like 340,000 children unaccounted for,
mm-hmm. approximately
across yeah. the border.
You mean it crossed the border
over the 4 years of the Biden administration?
Yeah,
and the federal government doesn't know where they are.
Okay, so that obviously goes against the whole narrative of these are families coming over,
right?
Because there was that image of. Parents being ripped away from their kids, but in many cases, and how many are missing?
Well, that's I don't remember who gave the statistic, but I remember reading it or hearing it that there were 340,000 children in this country who had crossed the border, and the government doesn't know where they are, where they went.
Yeah, and the point I was making is that if they came over with their parents,
right.
Their parents would have known where they are.
Yes.
That's a big problem.
All right, what's the first news story, Chris?
Well, liberal news outlets
All of them.
Yeah, they're many of them. CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, ABC.
Yeah. Keep going.
They're all reporting that U.S. military strikes on three of Iran's nuclear facilities last weekend did not destroy the core components of the country's nuclear program and likely only set it back by months. This is according to what liberal news outlets are describing as an early U.S. intelligence assessment that was described by seven people briefed on them. Briefed on it. The assessment, which had not been previously reported, was produced by the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Pentagon's intelligence arm. So, long story short, there are reports out today that the U.S. strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend did not do as much damage as President Trump told us it did.
How do they know?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Trump says...
Why I'm here.
Yeah. Well, there's supposedly some leaks say that.
Yeah, it's leaks that have been briefed on this report that confirmed or spoke to CNN and other news outlets on anonymity or asked not to be identified. So that story is out there. To go with this story is some audio from the president himself who says the leaked document does not or did not paint an accurate picture. Clip two.
I believe it was total obliteration. I believe they didn't have a chance to get anything out because we acted fast. Well, the intelligence was very inconclusive. The intelligence says we don't know. It could have been very severe. That's what the intelligence says. So I guess that's correct. But I think we could take that we don't know. It was very severe. It was obliteration.
Trump also doubts that anything at Fordo and these other locations was saved. Clip three.
I believe it was total obliteration. I believe they didn't have a chance to get anything out because we acted fast. If it would have taken 2 weeks, maybe, but it's very hard to remove that kind of material. I don't want to use an example of Hiroshima. I don't want to use an example of Nagasaki. But that was essentially the same thing. That ended that war. This ended that with the war.
Now, to Trump's, one thing that works for Trump here with this situation is, yeah, it's possible and perhaps even likely that we did not do as much damage as we were told. But we do also know that many of these news outlets reporting this, hate Trump and find anything they can do to be anti-Trump.
Are you sure about that?
I am more 1,000%.
You're making a big presumption right
yeah.
there, huh?
So I reported as a news person. This outlet says this based
Peyton
on this information.
Big
he says it's not true, but I mean, take it with a grain of salt. If CNN says what Trump's telling you is not true,
maybe Chris should from now on say the mainstream media is allegedly anti-Trump.
There you go.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
So then, would they be happy if they would have done more damage?
I know.
No,
they want if they could have their way, they would say President Trump flew the planes over there and he missed.
Yes, that's what
he hit Pakistan.
Yes, but okay, you see the point I'm asking, though?
Yeah.
Are you saying...
They're like elated that maybe the damage wasn't done that was first reported.
Well, and
was that because he would get credit?
Listen, I've seen other reports that it was worse than that our damage that we did to the bombings of the B-2s was even more devastating than
we
realized.
Thought.
So,
well, and Israel is saying that Trump's strikes set Iran's nuclear program back by years.
Okay, there you go. That's
and
all I
Israel
need to know.
And if Israel says it,
right.
then I...
They're the ones with the most at stake here.
And perhaps the best intelligence agency in the world, as opposed to leaks from anonymous sources who might have an axe to grind or who might want to make Trump look
bad. If I were President Trump, I wouldn't even answer him on that. I would just say that's.
Here's one example of why you can take it with a grain of salt what a news outlet says. For example, this is the headline from the Daily Beast. Trump rages through night over leak of humiliating Iran flop. I already know what you feel about,
Well, they bait Trump, too, and he falls for it.
You mean in terms of he'll respond?
He will respond. He will. Yeah, they bait him and they say, "Hey, you didn't take them out like you said you did." And, oh yeah, I did. I obliterated them.
Truth
it was
social.
The greatest best ever in the world history. Yeah. I mean, he can't help himself.
The fact of the matter is, nobody can know for sure because Iran's not going to let the International Atomic Energy Commission come and check it out. So they're the ones who started off talking about Iran saying, they hardly scratched the surface. There's nothing. You remember the video of the guy driving down the highway saying there's nothing. It didn't even touch You know, there's a little smoke in the distance. That's it. He is well, an utter failure, and that's when people started comparing him to Baghdad Bob.
Okay, listen. We don't know the full story here yet. I just know looking at the satellite imagery and hearing how powerful these weapons were and Israel's comments that they did the job. I mean, what more do you really need to know? And as you say, how will we know the full extent of this till maybe a month from now or 2 months from now when more investigation can be done? But it's like the left-wing media in this country is like gleeful mm-hmm. at anything that may hurt President Trump.
Right.
In the polls or internationally or anything, they just, you know, the Trump derangement syndrome.
Right.
It is real. Okay. They absolutely real. They can't.
What he could do is deport illegal immigrants who are criminals, and they be disappointed about that.
Yeah, and try to get the criminals released, brought back.
They're doing that too. But somebody said that
goes to the point of an example of mm-hmm. a real life example of.
Somebody said he could walk on water, and the media would say, "Look, Trump can't swim."
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, that's how bad it is. Listen, as I say, Trump falls for it sometimes, and especially when he's tired looking and gets angry and upset and he just lashes out. So I don't, you know, I understand how that his feeling is on that. But let me ask you this. Another indication, too, of the effectiveness of the Operation what?
Overnight Hammer? What was that?
Midnight Hammer, yeah.
Midnight Hammer. I remember the Midnight Special with Wolfman Jack. Do you remember that, Ed?
The Midnight Special with Wolfman Jack.
Don't you remember
yes,
that?
Yes, I do. I do. I do remember that.
Wesley and Chris are looking at us like, what in the world are y'all talking about? Anyway.
Wolfman.
But this was called Operation Midnight Hammer. Mm-hmm. Okay, so another indication of the effectiveness of it is the truce or the, what do you call it?
Ceasefire.
Has that held now for 24, 48 hours?
Still holding, but we're kind of on the edge of our seat to see whether or not. I mean, it's definitely fragile. That's the term we use in our headline today. Fragile ceasefire.
Well, and let me just add another thing, too, to this discussion. Trump has said, I think it was yesterday, he said, we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm. If they start to rebuild
the nuclear program, we'll just bomb it again. And they're not going to wait for them to build it, whatever it is, you know, a mile underground, or it's not quite that far.
All right, I just want to see if Iran sends weapons again, tries to attack Israel again. If they try to attack Israel again, which I don't think they're going to do, okay, because of the effort that they put into that bombing of the U.S. military base the other day in Qatar, mm-hmm. like President Trump and some of the others, maybe the Qatar officials said Iran sent 4 or 5 drone missiles over there to our military base and called ahead and said, hey.
It's on the way.
It's on a DoorDash.
12, yeah.
You know.
12-hour heads up.
You'll see them coming on your ring camera.
Drone Dash is on the way and be delivered in 2 hours.
Drone 12.
Was 12 it 12-hour warning?
Yeah, 12-hour heads up.
That's a slow drone right there to go from Iran to Qatar and take 12
hours. What
they
were wanting to happen is nothing to happen.
Batteries.
Right. Well, as those missiles were coming down, one of the news outlets we had on in the newsroom said Iran hopes this de-escalates the situation. You just shot missiles.
Yeah. I know. But what I'm saying is, I think had they had anything better that they could have done, or more that they could have done,
that's right,
Iran at the time, they would have. And this tells me if Iran does not send weapons or. By the way, we haven't even talked about their. They've got a real crisis in their government over there in Iran.
Yeah, they do.
And their leadership, because so many of their top lieutenants have been taken out by the Israelis and a nuclear scientist, and it's really destabilized that country. And there's some of their infrastructure. So, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen exactly over there in Iran. They got, what do they got, 90 million people, something like that? Roughly. What is that?
Iran. I'll check.
Look up population of Iran and see what it says. See if Brother Tim's halfway right there.
They have 92,400,000.
Yeah. Yeah, Brother Tim.
A little bit plus.
Wesley will buy you lunch.
My missile hit real close right there. Right? Am I right? So anyway, it's a big country and a lot of people. And you hear reports about, you know, Christianity growing inside Iran, which we pray for. And you hear also reports about the people there. The average person over there doesn't want this Ayatollah Islamic regime ruling over them. They want more freedom, more westernization. So, but how do you, but the problem is the mullahs and the Ayatollahs, they've got control of the police and the military.
Right.
So they can, like any
dictator. They'd have to turn against the mullahs.
It could happen. It's happened in history. You know, we'll see.
Well, it happened with the overthrow of the Shah of Iran.
In reverse.
In reverse. Because the Shah had a pretty solid police, nationalized police force that were a terror to the people.
Right.
There was a lot of oppression, a lot of corruption. There was an attempt to.
But he was our dictator.
But he was our dictator. That's exactly that. You kind of say that with tongue in cheek, but it's absolutely true.
Right.
We're opposed to dictators unless they are friendly to us.
Yeah.
That has happened all over Latin America. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Sometimes you go to work.
Some people say we should have left Saddam Hussein in charge, you know, in Iraq.
Yeah. Anyway. Some people say the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Yeah.
And so it could flip again, and they could go back to freedom. And that's my prayer.
But you don't support any devil.
I support no devil. Yeah.
No
good, good point. Theologically, we support
point.
No devils.
Yeah, that was metaphorically.
Yes.
Not theologically.
Right. There is another Trump story here that we actually have on our website as well, AFN.net, and it could very well be a victory for President Trump for something he pushed for during his first term in office 8 years ago. You know, Trump has said for years that NATO members need to pay more. They need to pay more. The U.S. is responsible for a lot of NATO. Other members need to start paying up and helping cover the cost here.
Yeah.
In a story on our website, AFN.net, NATO members are poised to enact one of Trump's chief priorities for NATO, a pledge by its member countries to increase, sometimes significantly, how much they spend on their defense. I have some audio from the president himself here, Donald Trump, talking about this.
Is he at G7 now?
He's at the NATO summit. He's been meeting with NATO members.
Okay, G7 was two weeks ago.
He left G7 early to deal with Iran.
Okay, so what we're about to hear is President Trump commenting at the NATO meeting.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
About how they're going to pay more.
Okay,
Clip
okay,
one.
Go ahead.
We're with them all the way. I mean, if you take a look at the numbers, we're with them. And they have very big things to announce today. I don't know if you've taken the vote or you're going to take the vote, but I've been asking them to go up to 5% for a number of years, and they're going up to 5%, and so that's a big... From 2%, and a lot of people didn't even pay the 2%. So I think it's going to be very big news. NATO is going to become very strong with us, and I appreciate doing it.
Now, I don't know which NATO countries, but it says most NATO countries, with the exception of Spain, are preparing to pitch in.
I know most people understand this issue, but let me just dumb it down a little bit here. So NATO was created After World War II. It's called the North Atlantic Treaty Organization?
Yes.
Okay. NATO. And what it was created for was to be a deterrent against the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, which doesn't exist anymore. So thus we entered into what's called the Cold War between basically the United States, which is a part of NATO, and... and the Soviet Union. We all know that story. So, in this, but since then, the United States of America has been, we've been carrying all the water, so to speak, the cost and everything for maintaining our military presence in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially Western, what's formerly called Western, it's called Western Europe today. So, President Trump has been trying to get these countries, albeit they're smaller, to pay a certain percentage of their budget to go to their military so that they will be, it would be a true partnership instead of getting to ride free off the back of the United States. Is that basically, have I basically got it right here?
Yeah, and, you know, part of the, by the way, NATO, the NATO countries that you mentioned in Western Europe were a counterweight to the countries that the Soviet Union kept after World War II. They drove the Nazis back into Germany and were approaching Berlin from the east. And then all those countries they took back from, took out of Nazi Germany's hands, the Soviet Union kept them.
And thus they became the Soviet Union.
Well, the Soviet Union was expanded. Was separate, but then the these countries like Poland, East Germany, Hungary, all these, they became what was known as the Warsaw Pact.
Right.
So you had the U.S. against the Soviet, balancing against the Soviet Union, NATO, Western European countries balance against Eastern European countries. And I think that NATO has become more willing to up their expenditures to 5%. Again, the exception of Spain, and I'm not sure if everyone's going up to 5%. But because of what Russia did in attacking Ukraine,
right?
I think NATO realizes they've got to up their game so that if something else happens, they would be ready.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So President Trump is in. Where are they having this meeting?
It's in Western Europe, where Brussels, the Netherlands, that part of the world.
Okay. Anyway, he's over there for the NATO, was that a couple days, and then he's back here?
Yes.
President Trump, 79. He'll be 79 in June, I think. Do you know that?
He just had a birthday on the 14th.
He's 79.
Oh, this is June. Okay. He's 79. Look it up. I think I'm right about that. I was right about 90 million Iranians.
Let's see. You might be just good at numbers. President Trump is...
His math teacher would have disagreed with that.
See if I'm not right. I think he's
79 years old. June 14th is his birthday.
Memory and guessing is what he's good at.
You didn't send your card?
What are you talking about?
His birthday card?
President Trump.
June 14th.
Well, I did a month
He's
ago.
79 years old, just turned 79.
He shares a birthday with Flag Day.
That's true.
That's right. They had a military parade on his birthday.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
because it was also the 250th anniversary of the creation of the U.S.
I tell you,
Army.
I already look 79 with my gray hair. So if Donald Trump lives for like another two or three decades, I'm going to start drinking Diet Coke and eating French fries. Because there's apparently something to that.
There's no better time to start doing that than now, Chris.
Let me ask you this. This is no comment on President Trump's mental ability to do his job, because I think he's doing just fine. Okay. But he's starting to look his age, okay, a little bit in terms of, I mean, he's 79 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, most people have been retired.
Yes.
For like 10 years or something like that. And he is like a freak of nature. We mentioned that before. And as Chris mentioned, Wesley, he gets by on
Big Macs.
He has a Big Mac fry. And what does he like to drink?
I think it's Coke.
He's got a
Diet Coke. Yeah. Is it Coke or Diet Coke?
It's a Coke product.
He's got a Diet Coke button in the Oval Office.
But I'm saying that his shoulders are more slumped than they were. This happens to everybody. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that he's a little bit slower in his walk. And, you know, what's the old saying? Father Time waits on no man. Mm-hmm. So, and he's waited a long time on Donald Trump. I'm just saying, I hope he holds up physically and mentally to the challenge that he has. And
that's a real concern. I mean, it could happen pretty quick.
Vice presidents,
that's
right?
Right. Yep. Yep, it could happen pretty quick with someone of his age, but in the meantime, we're going to keep...
I'm not saying it's anywhere near...
But that wouldn't surprise us.
You just start wondering, okay, how much longer is this fella going to be able to hold up to the daily pressures.
Especially at the level he's doing it at. That's what I'm saying. Age, it's kind of like you start anticipating it.
The strain, even for young guys. Remember Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
President Obama, he aged in those 8 years.
Right.
And that's for a relatively young guy.
George W. Bush had brown hair when he entered office. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn Network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Chris. Today's Wednesday, June the 25th, 2025. 2025 is almost halfway over.
That's
hard to believe, isn't
it? Just blowing my mind.
Yeah.
You know what June 25th is, right?
What is it, Ed?
I don't know. I was hoping you knew.
6 months to Christmas.
Chris, hey, Chris got it. Is that the right answer?
Bingo.
I made it, Mom.
Is today some kind of holiday or something? Federal holidays. President Trump said the other day, we got too many federal holidays, need to get rid of some of them. I thought, you're right about that.
I bet he didn't give a list of the ones.
No, I don't think he did. But,
I think we should have one federal holiday each month.
I
think AFA should have an official holiday with the federal holidays. Can you imagine if we did that? We'd be out, our employees would be out half the year.
Yeah. Well, the federal government employees, they get every federal holiday.
Yeah, they sure do.
You guys ruin my Arbor Day plans every year by making me work. Let me tell you.
Your Arbor Day. Oh, how do you commemorate Arbor Day, Chris?
I plant a tree.
Plant a tree.
And then I read about the Great Society.
You got all day and you plant one lousy tree, huh?
You know what? Can I just say something that'll probably get you in trouble at home?
Would you bless us?
My wife always loved Arbor Day, and she would, mm-hmm. she signed the Arbor Day Foundation, and she would order trees, and she would just plant them wherever, willy-nilly around the yard. And I'd have to eventually go and dig them up because they'd be too close to the house or to the foundation. And I would say, please stop. Let's just plant them in a place where they, you know, can provide shade. But don't get so tall that in a strong breeze they collapse on your house. She doesn't listen to me.
No, well, I think this is where you use the expression, I know your heart's in the right place.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly
but
right.
The trees ain't.
Yes, that's exactly right.
All right. So, anyway.
Bushes, trees, it wouldn't matter. She'd plant them right next to the house.
And then you have to mow around them.
Yeah, and then, okay, this
I think
then
you
I'll
probably
be done.
Need to stop right there.
She planted these four bushes right next to the house, and I was worried about the roots. And one Saturday morning, I said, I'm digging them up.
Yeah, they go.
And I thought, I can get this done before lunch. And they were so deep. It took me 2 or 3 days to get those things up.
You didn't have like a bush bumper buster?
No, what you needed was to back your vehicle in there and tie it to it.
Bush bunker buster is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, because those kind of things always go well for the Battagliano family.
What's that?
But tying a bush to my bumper and then trying to pull it out.
I'm looking at a list of federal holidays, and there's only 11.
Really?
New Year's Day.
One for every month, as Ed said.
Pretty much. New Year's Day, Martin Luther King Day, Washington's birthday / President's Day, Memorial Day, Juneteenth, that's the new one. That came into effect when President Biden was in office. Independence Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Now, Juneteenth, as I mentioned, is our newest holiday, but that involves something that happened at the end of the Civil War, so it does go back
to that time. If we add any more federal holidays, we need to take one away. That would be my
spending program.
That's what
campaign. The odds are the federal government is not giving up Labor Day, because that is a nod back to the unions that helped put many people in power over the years.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, a big court decision happened a couple of days ago. We're going to talk about that regarding. Deportation of people here who are in the United States illegally. Joining us now to talk about that and other issues is Jenna Ellis. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard on every weekday morning from 7 to 8 Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Hey, good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. And I think we should make today a holiday and I'll just go home right now. I'll just say bye and be like, it's the 2015th, you know.
Oh,
so 2015. That's got to be something.
I know. What is today? 2025. Hey, some good news, great news, actually, out of the state of Florida regarding these children. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, in the state of Florida. So this is great, and I just absolutely love our Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, who actually joined me on the program recently to talk about how he doesn't care that a federal judge is holding him in contempt for actually enforcing Florida and federal immigration law. And so now the headline is 60 missing kids are dramatically rescued in a covert human trafficking operation. And this is across multiple counties in Florida. And the kids aged 9 to 17 years old were all recovered from the Tampa Bay area in an operation led by the U.S. Marshals Office for the Middle District of Florida. And this is yet another win for the free state of Florida that just shows our leadership. And I say our because, as listeners know, I'm a resident of Florida. This is my leadership. They just do what is right. I mean, this is in tandem with Governor DeSantis and Senator Jay Collins from Florida Senator Collins went to Israel and they chartered flights and got over 1,500 U.S. citizens, including Floridians, out of Israel during the Iran-Israel conflict. And these are things that they don't necessarily have to do, but when you have good leadership who knows the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, they step up and use their power to actually effectively help people. And this is exactly what the Bible talks about when it says that with good leadership, the people rejoice, and with evil leadership, the people groan.
Ed?
Yeah, Jenna, this was the result. By the way, this is a great thing that, as you mentioned, that Florida was able to do. And Attorney General Uthmeyer, is that how you pronounce it?
I think so. I've heard it several ways. That's how I pronounce it. So we'll go with that.
So a great thing to wake up to hear, to read about. But this is also horrifying because we're finding out that some of these children are girls who are pregnant. I mean, very, very young ages. And this is, as far as I could tell, the result of 4 years of the Biden administration's disastrous, catastrophic policy on just letting people flood into this country. Because from what I've read, there are hundreds of thousands of children that cross that border and nobody knows where they are. Don't know if they were trafficked, don't know if they wound up with parents or with family members or where they are. This was a disaster along the southern border. And 60 kids, praise God for that, but how many are still missing? Speak to the catastrophe that was the Biden administration's policy on the border.
Yeah, you're so right, Ed. And this just proves why the disastrous effects of one administration can linger and can continue on and affect so many people. So you not only have this instance, but you also have, people who have committed violent crimes who have come over the border or have reentered multiple times with the Biden administration. And this just goes back to the whole point that worldview matters, what you believe about nations and borders and the legitimacy of government matters, because with the Biden administration and Kamala Harris, who was then VP, and of course lost this last election, I mean, their whole globalist view of saying, well, diversity matters and we want to have multiculturalism, we don't want to have borders, we just want to thrive on DEI. These are the disastrous results, because people who come in from other countries that are not Christian, that do not share our values, they don't assimilate here. They just bring in their worldview and their disastrous policies onto our shores. And for a government like the Biden administration to not appreciate that and not protect American citizens first, that is absolutely contrary to this oath of office. And that was something that for a long time, some Republicans were saying that he should be impeached over. And I think that there's a good case for that. But at the same time, this is why policy matters and elections matter so much.
All right, let me ask you this, changing the subject a little bit here, but still a constitutional question. You posted on X, I think, or about whether President Trump or any president has the right to a military decision like we saw take place with the bombing of the nuclear sites there in Iran. So President Trump authorized these B-2s to fly around the world and drop bombs, massive bombs, and then, come home. But some are saying, by the way, the impeachment idea, that was a lead balloon right there, but that some of the Democrats tried to float. But the question is, where do we draw the line, Jenna, on when Congress needs to be involved in war efforts and when the president, as commander-in-chief, has unilateral authority?
Yeah, and this is a great question, and one that even some conservatives are asking. And I actually did an entire segment on my show yesterday for listeners. You can go to AFR.net and you can click on the previous episodes. And I did a whole segment on this talking about the difference between declaring war and conducting a preemptive strike, because Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution says specifically that Congress holds the power to declare war, which is a formal, sustained state of conflict. But the commander-in-chief under Article 2 can use military force to protect national interests, and including preemptive self-defense. And so this is why the War Powers Act back in the 70s was passed by Congress, because there is this natural tension between a formal declaration of a sustained war versus military action that a president can take unilaterally. He does have to inform Congress, and that was done in this case. Trump abided by that law of informing, but he doesn't have to get consent from Congress. And the courts generally have treated these type of issues as a political question and saying, well, if Congress doesn't like what the executive's doing, that's for the two branches to resolve politically. It's not necessarily a legal matter to adjudicate. So the courts have historically largely sidestepped these issues when some military members, for example, would sue under like an unauthorized war or an unauthorized action. And so they've basically stayed out of it. But the way that I read the Constitution, and most of I think that the conservative attorneys and constitutionalists would say, there is a distinction between a formal declaration that we are at war and this is going to be sustained versus the War Powers Act, which says that as long as it's, a specific time frame under 90 days of conflict and it's for a specific strategic national interest or national security interest, the president has that authority, because he can just obviously move more quickly to address something than Congress deliberating and having a formal declaration.
And by the way, the last time Congress formally declared war was World War II. So the Korean, we call it the Korean War, but it technically was not the result of a declaration of war. Vietnam, all the things in the Middle East, you know, Grenada, the use of military force has gone on a number of times since the last formal declaration of war. Let me just ask you this, Jenna. Do you think part of the reason why the president seems to have expanded powers to direct the military in warlike efforts is because, I mean, I don't know this is true. This is just my take on it. But when the founders established the country, the Constitution, that was back when Congress had to formally declare a war because Congress had to authorize the funds to execute the war effort. But now we have a standing army, Air Force, Navy, you know, we have, you know, the Coast Guard, all of that is already funded. And the president, as the commander in chief, simply decides with, you know, letting Congress know we are going to use these war assets that you, Congress, have already paid for. We're going to use it in this way. Do you think that explains some of the reasons why presidents have used the military without a formal declaration?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I also think we live in a very different live response time environment in 2025 than we did in, you know, 1787 when the Constitution was ratified. And so it's not that the principle changes or that the Constitution's a living document, but the application of the powers that are given to the commander-in-chief naturally will look differently today than they did back then. I mean, it's the same thing as saying, you know, the argument that, well, the founders, you know, the First Amendment doesn't apply to your text messages or your social media posts. Well, yeah, it does. It just, the founders didn't contemplate the specific use or medium of technology with respect to the First Amendment, but it's all about free speech and government restraint on it. It doesn't depend on the medium. The same analogy is true for war powers and the responsiveness that is necessary from a U.S. president today when you have you know, these long-range missiles that you have to make a decision in, you know, 30 seconds sometimes. Right. That's you can't possibly convene Congress and decide, well, you know, what do we think about this? You know, you have to be able to turn on a dime, and that's why we have some of these standing militaries. And so this all just goes to the fundamental rationale that the Constitution is all about powers that are limited, but the principle is really what we need to pay attention to as well.
This is Wesley here. I'm reading an article from Yahoo News from yesterday, and it says that U.S. President Barack Obama dropped more than 26,000 bombs on 7 countries: Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Pakistan, Somalia, Yemen, and
that,
Yemen in 2016 alone. To my understanding, the way that you just described, Trump did the bombings in Iran at the nuclear site. So what is the with the other side?
Are you noticing a double standard?
I'm getting it. I was going to get your comment.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I was kind of picking up on this.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the letter after their name most of the time, right? Yeah, I mean, that just like with the impeachments of President Trump, the Democrats were saying, well, this is all political. We don't need a legal basis. There has to be a trial. And then as soon as Republicans impeached Homeland Secretary then Mayorkas, it was, we're not going to have a trial. That's purely political. They don't have a legal basis. And it's like, you can't argue both things, but they do. And they do because they are unmoored from principle. They just want the outcome in the moment. And this is why conservatives have to remain principled and demand that we are a nation of rules, not a nation of outcomes that and preferences like the Democrats.
Yeah, you know, with President Trump, there is this Trump derangement syndrome, as it's been called. And, you know, once you completely you lose your objectivity and you're just and then you're, say you're a journalist or you're a reporter or you're an analyst, and you, but everything you do, you've basically lost your mind. Okay,
that's right.
To do the capability of doing your job correctly. So, listen, you know, people.
That's how their numbers end up going down.
Right, when you have no credibility at all, you can't even give credit to somebody for something so obviously,
right,
good. Then when you criticize or critical of something that they do, you go, well, you're critical every day, all day of everything they do, so it doesn't matter. So I don't listen to you anymore.
That's what's happened
with the liberal media. Let me ask you about one more. The Supreme Court, was it 2 days ago, Jenna? 6-3, they ruled in favor of the Trump administration in terms of the deportation.
Yes. And so this is also a really great story that, you know, again, the Supreme Court is deferring to the Constitution, which is a very good thing. And they are allowing, at least for now, for Trump to continue to implement his policy related to mass deportations and his policy on immigration, because that is within his policy purview. And so they declined to temporarily restrain that. And so they overturned a woke federal judge to the contrary. And so this is a great thing for the U.S. And again, why elections matter, because if we had a different composition on the Supreme Court, I think we would see different outcomes, because we know that the very, very, very left-leaning judges on the bench, those three women, they prefer outcomes most of the time to any sort of semblance of principle. But this case was decided on principle in the Constitution, so that's a very good thing.
But they basically ruled that the ICE or the agencies and responsible for deportation can, if you're arrested and you're deported, you can go to anywhere. Mm-hmm. Is
wherever,
that right?
Wherever we send them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully this will encourage perhaps some people who are in the United States illegally to choose where they want to deport themselves.
Self-deport?
yes, instead of having Tom Homan decide for them.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jenna. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, guys. Great to talk with you.
Bye-bye. That's Jenna Ellis joining us there.
Host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. By the way, folks, that's heard weekdays at 7 a.m. Central Time on AFR. She also hosts the on-demand podcast. You can find not only Jenna's podcast, but a host of podcasts at AFR.net, AFR.net. There's a little menu at the top, says podcasts. You click on it, you'll see all the podcasts that are available. Just tons of solid
information. You listen to podcasts?
I do. I listen to a lot of podcasts, ours, others. Podcasts, it's kind of like going back and keeping your education going, mm-hmm. Because there's all sorts of great categories of podcasts that you can listen to. And, boy, you just continue to learn. And
I listen to podcasts and
the long form podcast. So, you know, an hour and a half.
Wow.
And so, the reason for that is you can do it at your own convenience and you can do multiple things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, my wife doesn't believe I could do multiple things at the same time, but I prove it. I can mow the yard and put my earbuds in and listen to a podcast.
Mm-hmm. At the same time.
And grow as a person while your grass is cut.
That's right.
Your grass goes down, you go up.
I go up.
Your knowledge goes up.
Yeah.
Hey, be sure to drink plenty of water today if you are going to cut your grass. And I say that because it's going to be a
good segue right there, Chris.
Yeah, but you hijacked it by, don't emphasize it. It soak.
So, I mean, to put things in like a perspective on how many people are dealing with a heat wave right now, there's approximately 340 million people in the United States of America. Over 170 million Americans are roasting today under a giant heat dome.
It's not just a heat wave. It's a heat dome.
It's a heat dome.
It's like a thunder dome or something. It just sounds more ominous, doesn't it?
You know,
you expect Mad Max to come riding down the interstate.
We don't need another hero.
It feels like a sauna when you walk outside.
It does. It's awful. For people that have never been blessed with the opportunity to visit us in the Deep South, pretty much when you step outside, it feels like you're in a giant body of hot water, but there's no hot water. You're literally like it's boiling outside.
But now they're experiencing it
In the Northeast.
In the Northeast.
As far north as like Quebec City.
Yeah. And this is the first time they said in decades that they've had this kind of heat. By the way,
is it? How oppressive? How bad?
You say Northeast,
like 95 degrees?
No, it's in the hundreds.
Over 100 degrees in some parts of the U.S. and even.
Sorry, I interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, you remember how this last winter I told you that I was tired of cold weather?
Yeah.
And I look forward to the summer. I don't care how hot it gets.
Yeah.
I changed my mind.
Well, go ahead, Wes.
Well, I was going to say with the heat wave here, what part, when you say Northeast, how far and how high?
I mean, pretty much the Midwest through the northeastern part of the U.S.
New England.
And even into Canada.
Wow.
Now, in Quebec City, it's not going to be 100 degrees. Like right now, it's 71 in Quebec City.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, that's still getting pretty warm.
So they this afternoon when I get home.
From me.
And my kids say, can we go fishing? I'm going to say, can we wait till 7 or 8 maybe?
Well, and by the way, that does affect heat, does affect fishing, doesn't
well,
it? Because
I
water
meant,
heats up as well.
That may be true. I'm not that good at knowing the that type of thing as it relates to fishing. What I was referring to is that the 10 degrees cooler and the sun being behind the clouds or behind the trees makes a difference for me.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right.
Because, I went to Washington, D.C. In July, and it was.
I think I want to take this opportunity as a Southerner to look north to our friends in the North and the Northeast and say, because you're always making fun of us during winter.
Yeah.
No. You're always making fun of us during winter. You bunch of weenies down
That's
there.
Right.
It gets down to 30, and you like, you know.
Shelter in place.
Or shelter in place.
Inch of snow on the
inch
ground.
Inch of snow, and you call out the National Guard.
Cancel.
So now it's our turn.
I like this, where this is going.
Now it's our turn to
this
say,
fair.
You know what? You need to suck it up, Buttercup. Okay? All right? Because you got a little heat wave going on. I put heat wave in quotations, and everybody's freaking out saying, stay in and do this and do that.
Drink your water, put sunscreen on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome to our world every summer.
I visited, my dad and stepmom took me to Washington, D.C. in the early to mid-90s, and it was the first time I'd ever been there. We went to Mount Vernon like a lot of people do when you're in D.C. I have no idea how the Founding Fathers did it without –
Air conditioning.
Because I toured Mount Vernon in like mid-July, and it was awful.
You need to. We all need to be thankful we were born during the air.
Amen.
The air conditioning age.
Huh?
Am I right?
You see pictures of people in the the early 1900s sitting outside.
They're wearing wool.
Oh yeah.
And I just.
Oh, there's no wonder now people used to sit on the porch all the time.
Yeah.
Huh?
And cold water like. How would we do without ice water or
cold water?
Or refrigerator? They used to. My dad tells stories about how they used to have the truck come by his neighborhood in the Boston area to deliver ice for the ice box.
Yeah.
You put ice in the bottom of what to keep your food cool.
Yeah. Right, now you deliver ice, everybody starts running. it's a different world we live in.
Yeah, and a different ice, but yeah.
Oh, that wasn't the ice you were talking about.
No, but that's good. I like it.
My bad. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.